I'm calling this meeting to order. This is the August 4th meeting of the KPFA LSB. The acoustics in this room are a little difficult, so I ask people to be quiet. We are without a quorum in this meeting, where we were supposed to discuss and vote on the budget for KPFA. However, we're going to go through. We're going to have an information meeting, and we will do several of the things that are on the agenda. And we will, in fact, take a vote on the budget today. A number of members of this body have indicated, because they were unwilling to take a vote on the budget today because they received the budget last night and they feel they didn't have enough time to discuss it, that they decided not to participate in this meeting. There were conversations going back and forth in which we proposed alternative ways of voting so that we could at least have a full discussion on the budget today, and those were rejected by the other side. So those of us who are in the room, which constitutes a majority of the board but not a full quorum, are going to have a discussion on the budget, and we hope that those of you who are listening online will continue to listen. I see a couple of hands. I'm going to, before I call on them, I'm going to ask the secretary to read into the record the section of Robert's Rules of Order that we think gives us the authority to do this. Oh, call the roll. Okay. First, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll. Thank you.
Okay, so here we go. Agamir. Agamir is absent. Bernstein.
Here.
Bernstein is here. Drake.
Here.
Drake is here. Fest. Fest is not here. Futron.
Here.
Futron is here. Gans.
David Gans is out of town.
Gans is not here. Goldmacher.
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Con Hallinan.
Here.
Con Hallinan is here. Matthew Hallinan.
Here.
Matthew Hallinan is here. Johnson. Johnson is not here. Coburn. Coburn is not here. Kurzweil.
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Knorr. Knorr is not here. Pritchett. Pritchett.
She's on vacation.
Okay. Pritchett is not here. Privis.
Here.
Privis is here. Rosenberg. Rosenberg is not here. Russell.
She's ill.
Russell is not here.
She's excused.
Yeah.
Okay. Sawyer.
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel. Siegel. Siegel is not here. Sterling. Sterling is not here. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka is not here. Kate Tanaka. Kate Tanaka is not here. Turner.
Present.
Turner is here. Wilkinson.
Present.
Wilkinson is here. Withers.
Here.
Withers is here. So that is 12 present, 13 absent.
Secretary.
Yes.
Of the 13 absents, we have excused absence of how many? Three?
We have proposed excused absences are David Gans, Andrea Pritchett, Tanya Russell, and Dan Siegel.
Right. And the others are not excused.
That's up to the board.
I believe Frank Sterling.
Yes, Frank Sterling is also excused. He's at the parking lot sale at the station.
Somebody needs to make a motion.
I
will excuse.
Okay. Motion has been made to excuse David Gans, Andrea Pritchett, Tanya Russell, Dan Siegel, and Frank Sterling. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay. We'll let the record, such as it is, show that the absences have been excused. Sasha.
Am I hooked up? Yes. I'd like the record to show that the following members of the LSB were in the building and left so that we could not have a quorum, and that is Tracy Rosenberg, who is also a member of the Pacifica National Board and the treasurer of Pacifica, Kate Tanaka, Aki Tanaka, Anthony Fest, Cynthia Johnson, Henry Knorr, and J.K.
Janet Coburn.
And I'd also like to note that one of those people scheduled this room for the wrong date and time as well, and we have spent a great deal of time waiting to get into a room to start our meeting late.
Okay. I think that was just a note for the record. Now I'm going to ask the secretary to read the section of Robert's Rules of Order that I believe provides us the authority to do what we are doing today.
This is in section 39 of Robert's Rules of Order, Proceedings in the Absence of a Quorum. It says, where an important opportunity would be lost unless acted upon immediately, the members present can, at their own risk, act in the emergency with the hope that their action will be ratified by a later meeting at which a quorum is present.
Thank you. Thank you. So now I propose that, unless there are any objections, we essentially go through the agenda, approve the agenda, leave approval of the minutes for the next meeting, take public comments, have announcements, the chair's report, the IGM report, and then we'll get to the treasurer's report, which is the discussion of the budget. And let me ask if there's any objection to that proceeding like that. Okay. So I think people agree to the agenda, and I will accept that as unanimous approval of the agenda. I am proposing that minutes be taken up at the next meeting at which there is a quorum present. Is there any objection to that? So ordered. Okay. Now, we are ready for public comments. Do any of our public have comments? Come on, Kate.
Actually prepared two things. I was going to try to be more moderate, so I think maybe I'll go with the original Rick Rohrer. Infuriating as recent developments in the ongoing story of the thwarting of the will of the KPFA listeners is, it is also a sobering clarification of the differences between my vision of KPFA and Pacifica, their proper relationship, and how that can be realigned, and the one espoused by current management. There seems to be a large degree of agreement that untenable finances at WBAI are severely impacting the other stations at the network. Those making policy at the national level seem convinced that the deterioration of the other, more viable stations is an acceptable cost of propping up WBAI, and that WBAI is so crucial that its claims on support earned by KPFA trumps those of the station itself. As a listener and someone who has rarely failed to respond to KPFA's desperate cries for help, I emphatically disagree. The weakest link in a chain cannot be strengthened by weakening the other links. Thank you. It seems surprising to me that some on the LSB, elected to their positions by the listeners to KPFA, after all, to represent those listeners, should claim a higher allegiance to the administrative body, Pacifica, even and especially when that means giving WBAI priority claims over KPFA to the funds that KPFA has raised from its listeners. When you get past the shifting rhetoric, the stark reality is indefensible. It is unacceptable that Pacifica, which is just the overall administration of the network, should claim a budget equal to the average of the five stations it administers. Here's some real talk from a real listener. If I wanted my money to support WBAI, that's where I'd send it. If I wanted it to support bloated salaries for administrator to make spectacularly bad decisions for which they are unaccountable, I'd send it to Pacifica. I don't want it to go to either of those places, I wanted to keep the broadcast of Brian and Mitch and Sasha and all the rest of the wonderful newscasters and the volunteers like the music programmers and Bonnie Faulkner and Karen Sanders and Landon Berman coming. And if sending it to KPFA isn't the best way to do that, I will find out what the best way is, and that's what I'll do.
Thank you, Kate. Does anybody else want to make any comments? This is the time for the public to tell us what they think. Would you like to? Take a microphone and say your name.
Aixa Gannon, and I just wanted to second and support what you just said, because I feel that I'm a listener and I don't have a lot of money, but I send when I can because I want the programming of KPFA to continue, and that's my reason for contributing, and that's where I'd like the money to go.
Thank you. Okay. So I think we're ready to move on. Do any board members have any announcements they'd like to share? No announcements? Okay. Go ahead, Laura. You have an announcement.
I wanted to get the final totals for the fund drive. So let's see. As of yesterday, this is the most current summer fund drive at KPFA. We raised $342,000. Our goal, this is over the goal that we had set for ourselves at $285,000. That's $47,000 over our goal. Also, the last $2,000 came in online after the pledge drive, after the phone room closed.
Thank you. Okay, any other announcements? Thank you. All right, so I guess we're ready for the chair's report. I just have two items I want to report on. The first is that I'm pleased to say that I received a copy yesterday of a letter from Arlene Engelhardt addressed to the unions that represent Pacifica staff, rescinding a notice that she had sent on June 26th, notifying all of the stations of proposed layoffs, salary, and staff cuts. This letter quotes the motion that was passed at the PMB when they met here earlier in June. When did they meet? At the end of June? The beginning of July? When were they here? End of July. Okay. God, how quickly we forget. the PMB passed a motion asking that the financial situation of each individual station be reviewed by station management and reported back to the PMB, and the PMB is to discuss and analyze those situations. And it also required that when a station found that it was going to be facing a deficit, that it come up with some plans to deal with that deficit. The last paragraph of Engelhardt's letter reads, pursuant to this resolution, the PMB is looking to explore all potential ways to resolve its budgetary issues. As a result of this resolution, Pacifica is not planning to take any immediate action to lay off employees or reduce staff or pay. Any decisions on whether to make any layoffs or staff or pay reductions will not take place until after the procedure contemplated by the resolution has been completed. Accordingly, Pacifica is withdrawing the notice of reductions in expenses in force dated June 26, 2012, that has been given to its employees and their collective bargaining representatives. Any subsequent decisions by Pacifica to lay off employees or reduce staff or pay will be subject to a new notice to Pacifica employees and their collective bargaining representatives according to the terms of the collective bargaining agreements. And so I think many of us who were concerned about how quickly Pacifica seemed to be moving forward with the idea of staff reductions are pleased with this letter and hope that this process will result in better and more thoroughly considered decisions in the future. And the only other thing I wanted to say was that the Pacifica Board did meet in Berkeley the last weekend in July, and that one of the things we did was we had a reception at the KPFA studios, and that it was a great party. People had a wonderful time, and people who often find themselves locked in mortal combat in meetings were able to talk to one another and enjoy each other's company, and I think that's something that we need more of, and I'm very pleased that that happened at this recent meeting. So that's my report, and I'll take any questions if anybody. Okay. All right. Well, Andrea had a question, I think.
Do you think we should thank all of our volunteers who helped out to make that event a really good event?
We should thank everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
I thought
Thank
I would
you.
Put it in a question. For
you. Thanks to everyone who worked so hard on that event. Now. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, would you like to motivate? You need a microphone.
Yeah.
Give that man a microphone.
Is there a mic around here somewhere?
Not long enough. Let's see.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mel, read your motion again, just so that it's on the recording.
Resolved that the KPFA LSB urges the Pacifica PNB to adopt a policy that does not punish any unit in the budgeting process for the structural financial problems of any other unit. It's been apparent for a number of years now that many of the Pacifica stations can in fact be self-supporting or pretty much self-supporting even with their payments to central services. The problem has been, as one can see from looking at the financials, that the New York unit is structurally unable to make enough money to pay for its continued functioning and the national services. And it seems to me that that's been well known to the entire network and certainly to the national board, and in their budgeting processes, they should not penalize stations that are essentially self-supporting by making them cut vital staff and thereby undercutting their own viability in order to prop up a continuous sinkhole that we find in New York.
Okay, discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion? Go ahead, Laura.
Mel, I'm in favor of your motion, but being on the Pacifica National Board, I can imagine what objections, if they heard this motion, what objections they would have to this motion. Basically, their premise is that the network as a whole has always helped out each other. So if a station's in trouble, then other stations should help. But I think, it's important. I don't know if there is the way to add this to your motion, but something to the effect that it's because, I guess you're saying it, basically. You know, I don't think we want to, as an LSB, not say that we wouldn't want to help out another station in the network, but this is just an untenable situation that needs to be fixed, and we don't want to just, like you say, throw our money down a hole that's just not being, a problem that's not being solved that needs to be addressed by Pacifica.
I have Sasha and Don.
Well, I wanted to make a comment, but you might have, think in terms of additional language or a phrase you'd like to add to that, to Mel's motion. I mean, I think what Mel said in support of that motion is very, very true. I mean, this has been going on for 6 years now. that I know of with the rent situation at the one station in New York, WBAI. And supposedly we were waiting for the lease to expire, and it expires now on November 30th, and they want to continue it another 4 years. So to me, that is not coming to grips with the issue. It was fine to go along with it for 6+ years. I mean, I don't know that it was fine, but we did. And it seems to me that we can't extend a lease and have an additional, you know, it was running about $800,000 in the hole between the rent for the facility and the rent for the transmitter. It's a little less this year because we're paying half of their central service fees to Pacifica that we all have to pay, and Pacifica is in the hole for like $2 million+. So this can't go on. I mean, it's not that we don't want to support one another, but if we have a surplus, it's a small surplus, and I would remind everyone that we're operating without a program director at this point, which is absolutely vital, and without a development director, which is also vital to booster our finances. And we need those positions so we can remain tenable, and that would be the only way we would be able to help out another station, but that's impossible at this point, and that's true for, you know, Washington, D.C. is also in trouble. So we're left with a couple of viable larger stations, ourselves and Los Angeles, and that's all. And we're just sort of living on the edge. I mean, I think we have a bit of a surplus coming out of this particular budget this year, but it's not that large. And it certainly isn't large enough to fill an $800,000 gap.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So did you have other language, Laura? I mean,
okay. Okay. We did not establish a time limit for speakers, and I was hoping we could agree that speakers will be limited to 3 minutes, and ask that someone volunteer to be a timekeeper. Is there a volunteer for timekeeper? 3 minutes. Okay. Thank you. Donald's next.
Microphone.
I think the language needs to be added. Is this on? Got it. Okay. The language that has to be added, I think, needs to be that this is a chronic situation that has existed for a number of years, as Sasha just outlined, and that the network and the administration have been living in denial. That's a phrase we use in psychiatry. Nobody wants to say what's really going on there, which is that they are no longer and have not been living within their means. Their audience is dropping, and yet they're paying very high fees to maintain the station when alternatives have already been proposed and there's been a failure to implement the alternatives. So I think that language needs to be added now of that there are alternatives and that the network and administration have been ignoring them, and we urge them to act.
Okay.
Amal
has asked the floor. Are you proposing some changes in language, Mal? No.
I think the motion already speaks to all of the points that have been made.
Read it again.
Resolved that the KPFA LSB urges the Pacifica PNB to adopt a policy that does not punish any unit in the budgeting process for the structural financial problems of any other unit. In the first place, I think that's a good general statement, and I think Pacifica ought to act on that. I think we should not use provocative language, and I think this really says what it is we need to say. Pacifica has a problem in some of its units. They are currently constructed so as simply not to be able to fund their operations, and that simply cannot go on, and particularly it cannot go on at the expense of the other units. because if we are forced to reduce our own budget in order to make up for BAI's deficit, then that means that another Pacifica unit will be non-viable financially, and that's simply unacceptable.
Okay. Call a question. All right. Barbara wanted to ask Mal if budgeting was with a small B, and if you'd be willing to add the word fundraising
and financing
after budgeting.
Yeah, that's very limited.
Yeah.
Okay. Budgeting and financing. Okay. All right. With that small change in the language, are there any objections to this motion? Seeing none, it's adopted. All right. Are there any other questions or comments on my report? Okay, Andrew, you're up. Now he's going to, I don't know how he's going to get a microphone. Come on, move on up.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Laura gave a brief report on the fundraiser, but let me just pick up on that. So a lot can happen in a month. Since my last report, I'm pleased to announce that our 11-day summer fund drive returned almost $50,000 beyond goal. The phone room, or the chalkboard total for the summer drive, Laura had it at $342,000. $342,000. I had it at $330,000. It's a little bit different. It's shifting. But the point is that the goal was $285,000. We came in about 16% above our goal in 11 days, and more is trickling in on the web. Currently, KPFA is able to meet its commitments, but we have no reserve, or very few reserves. The average pledge, by the way, over the last two drives is $97.50. Our fulfillment is 89%. The chalkboard total, that's the amount that actually comes in, including all the money that comes in, not over the web, by the way, but comes into our phone room. Much of it is credit card pledges, over 50%. But of course, we have to deduct payments to KFCF and KPFK and the 19.5% central services, so you understand that chalkboard number is not the actual number that we get. I've said before, and I'll say again, that when I made the decision to open 1 hour in the morning, in morning drive, to open it to the KPFA news department, it was a programming decision, not a political decision. And it was designed to give morning drive our best shot, and that's what Upfront has done. The news department stepped up to fill 1 hour in the morning and very quickly established the program. Brian Edwards Tickett's done a great job, and so has John Hamilton, Sonali Kolhakta, with the help from Laura Privitz and other producers too. For metrics lovers, KPFA news department is now presenting 2 one-hour newscasts, AM Drive and PM Drive, 5 days a week for the same amount of money as it was for one newscast at 6 p.m. At the same time, Upfront is helping build audience for the morning mix, and this unusual cauldron of ideas, styles, perspectives is uniquely community radio and an authentic expression of Bay Area politics. I believe we should acknowledge the hard slog the morning mix had when it first began. They were dark and bitter days at KPFA, but we're moving on, and though I know that not everybody's happy with the morning changes, I don't think one can dispute the fact that we are now building a stronger morning with both Upfront and the morning mix. We all know we need new fundraising mechanisms, however. We hope to hire Goalbusters Consulting to explore other revenue streams. I know that as a result of KPFA opening a dialogue with Goalbusters, Pacifica National Office has also asked them to submit a proposal to help development across the whole network. Among other ideas we're floating are a silent fund drive campaign, pitching to the internet weeks before our next fund drive, and encouraging our audience to pledge online, and depending on the result, perhaps enabling us to begin reducing fundraising days if we get a good response. I know I've talked about this a lot, but we plan to spend more time on our internet presence. We're exploring creating additional online audio streams. A discussion on SoundCloud is in process, an elegant archiving program that KPFA News is already using. Producers are pushing for creating a video streaming portal at KPFA. I know many producers already have their own web presence. A Pacifica app is in process. And having said all this, we still have a long way to go to improve our online presentation, but we're working on it. Pacifica calls for $1 million in cuts immediately. Some of this information will be redundant, but let me just read it into the record. I reported at the July LSB meeting that on June 26, the Pacifica Foundation called for reductions in expenses and workforce of $1 million. The Foundation's intention was to reduce network expenses. This notice sent to all Pacifica affiliate unions on June 26 stated layoff reductions in staff and reductions in pay would take place. The memorandum stated there may be need to restructure staff and services and perhaps some program changes effective immediately. Then came the Pacifica National Board meeting 2 weeks ago. The PMB met in Berkeley. I'd like to share some of my report to the PMB and then some responses following the PMB meeting in June 26 email sent to all bargaining units around the network. Union and staff members have these questions and I posed them to the PMB 2 weeks ago. One, how did Pacifica arrive at the $1 million number? Two, is there a recovery plan? Three, has Pacifica analysed the impact of these changes on future fundraising? Four, what participation and contribution will the two East Coast stations make to this austerity plan? Five, what likelihood is there of WBAI and WPFW meeting their central services commitments in the future? Six, is the PMB aware that KPFA loaned the P&O approximately $1 million around 2000 when the National Office was moved from the then Executive Director Lynn Chadwick's mother's basement in Washington, D.C. to Berkeley when the new government structure was installed? What's the status of the loan? And seven, KPFA seeks detailed account information from the Pacifica National Office to ensure we are being billed in accordance with actual amounts owed. We've been promised a meeting to clarify these issues. We expect to have one next Thursday. When I rejoined Pacifica in March 2011, after an 18-month hiatus, KPFA was still reeling following the major staff reductions that occurred in 2010. A total of 8.3 full-time equivalent staff positions were eliminated, saving about $404,000 a year. A dozen staffers took settlements and left. They were all people of colour, and it changed the complexion of KPFA and reduced any affirmative action successes KPFA had had over the years. KPFA's current FTE number is 26.62, accounting for 47 people at a salary cost of about $1.9 million. We have 27 union members in our shop. We figure we can probably cut the equivalent of about one FTE before digging into cut paid staff positions. To satisfy a goal of $300,000 in cuts, KPFA would need to cut the equivalent of more than five full-time positions. Because KPFA has many half-time positions, however, and because of union requirements to respect seniority, we would likely have to cut up to 10 positions, including some of our best fundraisers. The PMB resolution. At the close of the PMB meeting 2 weeks ago, a resolution was put forward by Dan Siegel. On July 23, 2012, the PMB passed the following resolution in response to Pacifica's projected budget for the current fiscal year. Be it resolved, the PMB instructs the Executive Director to manage Pacifica's projected budget deficit for the current fiscal year as follows. One. Within 1 week, each station manager and the directors of the archive and the affiliates program shall prepare a thorough and realistic analysis of the station's projected revenue and expenses, including required payments to the National Office for the current year. Two, in the event the analysis indicates a budget deficit, the station manager shall include with his or her report the plan for balancing the station's budget at the end of the fiscal year. Three, the analysis and plan shall be submitted to the Executive Director and the PNB for approval. Four, The local station boards are invited to schedule special meetings to assist the station managers in developing their reports and plans. In other words, the PNB put a hold on the executive director's order for $1 million in cuts until stations had a chance to report back. KPFA's response to the PNB resolution. Following instructions from the PNB, I am submitting KPFA's projected revenue and expenses, including payments to the Pacifica National Office. One, our analysis shows KPFA with a projected budget surplus of $232,000 without depreciation and $118,000 and change with depreciation for financial 2012. Because KPFA begins its fall fund drive September the 24th, there are 7 days inside FY 2012. We estimate a net return of $70,000. This has been added to the projected budget surplus and includes necessary deductions to P&O for central services. Two, according to our records, KPFA has so far contributed $494,891 in central services, which includes our CPB allotments, a bequest from Sanjin's Trust of $100,000, and the remainder in direct payment. Pacifica National Office's response. Yesterday, Friday 3rd, we received this from the P&O addressed to all bargaining units. Read the notice of reduction in expenses. And I think Margie's already read that. I can read it into the record if you would like
me
to.
Go ahead.
Pursuant to this resolution, the PNB is looking to explore all potential ways to resolve its budgetary issues. As a result of this resolution, Pacific is not planning to take any immediate action to lay off employees or to reduce staff or pay. Any decisions on whether to make any layoffs or staff or pay reductions will not take place until after the procedures contemplated by the resolution have been completed. Accordingly, Pacifica is withdrawing the notice of reductions in expenses and force dated June 26, 2012, that has been given to its employees and their collective bargaining representatives. Any subsequent decision by Pacifica to lay off employees or reduce staff or pay will be subject to a new notice to Pacifica employees and their collective bargaining representatives according to the terms of their collective bargaining agreements. And this was sent to Summer Rees, the Pacifica National Board Chair, Tracy Rosenberg, Levan Williams, Andrew Gold, and William Corman, both attorneys. That's the gist of my report. Just a little bit of an add-on here. Pacifica election coverage, the Republican National Convention is in Tampa, Florida, from August the 27th to the 30th. Mitch Jeserich is hosting with Margaret Prescott from KPFK, and Davey D will be there too. The DNC is in Charlotte, in North Carolina, September 3 through 6. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, I can't remember who's hosting it. Do you know, Laura? Mitch is going to host that one too. I think he's producing it, right? But is he hosting? I know Mitch is producing the DNC, but I wasn't sure who he's hosting. Okay. And there's a parking lot sale today, and I guess that's the gist of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. My goodness. It's so nice to be near people who are happy and having a good time. I just love it. Okay, are there any questions for Andrew? Donald, go ahead.
Yeah. Andrew, first of all, congratulations that we've exceeded our goal on this fund drive. I'd love to
microphone
hear.
Here, give him this one. Give him this one.
Congratulations. Is this working? On exceeding our goal. I'd love 1 minute of detail on how that happened. My second question is, in connection with that, on a several programs that I was listening into, they were saying they were short of phone room volunteers. What are we doing about that down the road so that we have fully staffed phone rooms, especially on our most popular shows, where people calling a kid, since that's costing us potentially revenue, unless they're going online, and we don't know the answer.
Gold.
And the last thing is I'd love to talk with you. I don't want to take up the time of the board about online presence and how KPFA can do more online and partner with and utilize all the other mechanisms, which I am kind of more or less familiar with in terms of having three different films up there online and using various social media channels, especially YouTube, if we can create clips. And do we have a studio, a TV studio presence that we're able to use yet?
We don't have a TV studio presence at present. No, we don't.
I didn't quite hear.
No. We do not. It was your question, how would we go about streaming? Well, we have to work that out. We don't. I mean, the simple answer is there are volunteers that have come into KPFA at different times and set up cameras, and we have streamed events live from the station before, but we don't have a permanent setup to do that, but we're opening it up. I can say I think that there's more willingness to explore these ideas than there was. I think as in a general sense there is a better morale at the station, and of course making that money helps a lot. I think there's more interest and more pressure to do more on the internet than there has been in the past. We've tried to get it started, but you know, it's been difficult to get things moving quickly at KPFA for the last, since last 18 months or so. But we're working on it still.
Video production capabilities.
Better at teaching. Yes, we set up a web working group, which is just an informal meeting that we would having every couple of weeks. I'm planning to restart that, and maybe you should come, Don, and participate. It would be great.
I'd be delighted.
Thank you. I'll let you know. You asked about phone. Should I respond to someone? The phone volunteers, we're working on that too. Phil Osiaga is really the person who will send that out. I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds. I think those of you that have worked in the phone room know that when there's an emergency, we call out the fire brigade and the staff sort of slide down the banisters and finish up in the phone room pretty quickly. And I think we have it pretty covered most of the time. But it sometimes is a problem. During this fundraiser, I think the mornings were very well attended. I think there was a lot of excitement about the new morning, and I think we had plenty of coverage in that very important time.
Thank you.
Sasha.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we have a resolution congratulating and thanking our staff, including Andrew Phillips, the IGM, and particularly the news department and the upfront staff who are doing double duty for no extra pay, and the entire staff and volunteers who made this fund drive not just successful, but bringing in quite a large amount of money above our goal.
Second.
Okay, so you have to write that motion down for the secretary, okay? But I think we all get the basic gist of it, a motion that the LSB thanks and congratulates the people who work and volunteer at the station for a successful fund drive. Is there any discussion on the motion? Are there any objections to the motion? So let the record note that all present voted for the motion. Thank you. All right. Any other questions to Andrew about his report? Lewis, you had your hand up, did you? Give him a mic.
Since streaming images is one of the places that we'll have to go as we move forward, I would invite Andrew to have discussions with the head of the apprenticeship program, because we got her from Berkeley Community Media down the street. That's where we stole her from. And that seems to be a group we could partner with for permanent image possibilities.
Yeah, I was going to mention Berkeley Community Media, too, because they do a lot of really creative work there and have a TV studio, and it's like, you know, a block and a half from the station. Okay. All right. So I think we're ready to move on to the treasurer's report. And so this is it. This is the discussion on the budget. Here we go. I don't know how these ladies want to handle it. I'm going to turn it over to them.
Okay, now for the hot topic. Let's start. I passed out papers to you, and Maria now has more papers she's passing out. Let's start with this one-pager that I originally... Well, yeah, it's pretty colorful. It says KPFA budget fund drives. Now, this is the page where this is part of the template you've heard us talk about, where we do a lot of calculating in order to put numbers in a budget. And this shows the dates and the number of days for fundraising for the upcoming year. The first three lines are July, August, and September of this current fiscal year. And you'll see that it's always tricky to figure out how to describe the fact that we're actually raising money for three stations, and how do you then divide the calculate everything to end up with our budget figure. I think this latest chart that Maria has done is a little easier to follow than some we've seen in the past. So you'll see that on the far right is the amount that KPFA will put into their budget. The lowest right-hand corner is the figure for the year. Isn't that right? Yes.
For the fiscal 2013.
For the fiscal year ending in 2013. Now, the next document you should look at is the five-page budget. And I think we've improved the headings, so this is a little more followable. And you'll see we have four quarters across the page. These totals, for instance, our listener support, follow from the other document we were just looking at that shows how much we expect to earn or raise in pledges. But by the time, the first three is one group. Yeah. We got little heavier lines for the quarters. And so the actual money that's showing up in the listener support box as you go across the page is really the pledges transformed by when they arrive and the fact that we expect 89% fulfillment of those pledges. That's by history. There are some comparison columns, the ones that are pastel colored. You'll see we've included some figures from this year's budget. In other words, we so far have completed three quarters, and then there's speculation made about how much what the income and expenses are going to be for the rest of this fiscal year. So that's column Q. It says actuals for 9 months plus the proposed 3 months, final months of the year. And then we also have a column next to that which compares that calculation with what was budgeted for the whole year. The blue columns show the differences between this current year, what's going to turn out to be probably actual by the end of September, and what we had budgeted. Now, the lavender column O, is the total budget proposed for 2013. And way over on the right, the pale blue column, Oh, no, wait a minute. That's, let's see. It's the one right next to it that compares fiscal year 13 to fiscal year 12. Maria conveniently put up in the upper left-hand top box the amount of surplus that we expect to have in this budget. It's $69,834. And that would show up in, oh, where is it? Next page, page 2. Which one? Right there. Page 2, and it's column O, line 58. 6. I can't hold all these things and my magnifying glass, so I'm getting the numbers wrong. It's up in the left-hand corner of every page, so you guys can gloat over the fact that this budget shows a surplus. In other words, we met the most positive circumstances in calculating this budget as far as answering what the PNB has requested from the station manager and the business manager. I'll tell you that we did not reduce any salaries, and we did take out the allotment for a development director because we haven't filled that position, but we put in a little bit of that money to cover this fundraising group that actually was found by Chris Stellick, our data manager, and interviewed by, I believe, Andrew has interviewed them, right? And these people were also called to the PNB meeting to give a presentation. I guess the PNB may engage their services for the foundation, but Andrew is making plans to have them serve KPFA beginning pretty soon, I think, maybe even in this fiscal year. We also took out the allotment for a program director because that position is currently not filled. However, there was a small amount of that salary added to the salaries to cover an assistant that Andrew has been having in place of a program coordinator. Somebody's doing this work part-time, and the salary, of course, is not the same as a full-time salary position with benefits. It's part-time, and that arrangement they have been operating with pretty well now for a couple of months. Maybe Maria can remember any other little things we've reduced. We did not aim to reduce $300,000. We did not aim to reduce $1 million. This work was done under the guidance of the resolution that was passed by the PNB, which essentially undid the immediate demand that the executive director has made for $1 million in cuts.
The same as Barbara says, there are no cuts, absolutely none in this budget, and we still have a surplus budget. We have a very realistic fundraising goals. I even cut some revenue in light of the wonderful job that our team has done in this last fund drive. We did increase the summer drive for next year because we hope and anticipate we're going to do the same as well. As Barbara said, no program director and no development director, but yes, with the goal busters. Literally, there have been no other cuts whatsoever. So anyway, I don't know what more to say. Yeah, go ahead.
Andrea.
A couple of questions. How is this income, projected income, different than the consolidated income statement that was given out to us at the PMB that I'm looking at? Or is this the...
This is next year.
This, okay. This is projected.
Right, yes.
Okay, all right. And with, yeah, all right. Because they were just showing. And the other part is, was Andrew's report on projected surplus the same as what you have? It's two different things. What's happening here?
Okay. When I first went around, I passed out, as Andrew was speaking, two documents. Just to back up a little bit, it was the projection that Andrew submitted. It was in black and white. I'm too cheap. I don't do the color prints like Barbara does. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because he was saying 232,000.
Yes, that is for this fiscal year.
For this.
Fiscal year.
Yeah. So we have to, yeah, because you keep going back and forth. I need to know.
Okay. Well, right now, if you'd like, I can answer, before we get into the budget, I can answer any questions on this, and then we could move on into the budget.
The 69.
That is for 2013, starting October through September of 2013.
Okay, got it. I see it at the top. Thank you.
Now, you are quoting a figure of $69,834. Now, I noticed that this spreadsheet does include a depreciation figure. So if we eliminate the depreciation, it would be $184,000. Yeah. Is that correct?
Well, you know what? I misspoke when I said I eliminated things from the budget. What I eliminated from the budget is any capital expenditures. Because if you take depreciation, you're double dipping if you're taking capital expenditures.
Okay.
So, yes, to answer your question, depreciation is still in there
as an expense.
But it's not it's not a real expense.
It's not a real expense. It is not a monetary.
So it means there's $184,000 actually surplus then.
Yeah, but in which case, I would have to take capital expenditures into account.
Okay.
But the number that depreciation is much higher. So we have a lot more leeway if we were to need capital expenditures. But, you know, but we're still in a surplus.
But it's not I don't know why we keep it in the budget. It's just totally...
Accounting-wise, it is not a cash... This is an operating budget.
Right, and it shouldn't be in.
Depreciation is and should be taken into account when it's an audited financial statement.
Only.
Right. Or if you want to consider to accumulate reserves for... just reserves for the station. But in which case, that would mean that we should take that $114,000, put it in the bank, and not spend it, even to give extra money to national office. That would stay there as reserve. Exactly.
I just wanted you to go over that again, sorry, but what's the surplus, the projected surplus for 2012 budget?
Okay.
And then what, I just want that number, nothing else, and the number for 2013.
Okay, the surplus for 2012, taking into account the fall fund drive, is $232,481. And it's on page 2 of the one-page double-sided handout that I gave you. Yeah, it's handwritten. No, that's a... Pardon me? That is a surplus that we would expect for the whole year of 2012. The whole entire year, not a quarter, but the... Fiscal year. But the whole...
Ending September.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to make sure that you understand that's the surplus for the whole year and not for quarter four. There was a big confusion, before with the CFO. She kept talking quarter four, but the resolution said for the fiscal year. So that's what we presented, was a proposal or a projection for the fiscal year.
She's a guest.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay.
Donald. Okay.
Okay, I just want to go through a few things here, so I have to... You're saying your surplus was what again?
It's a handwritten at the very 232.
Look on the back of that page.
The handwritten. I just sloppily handwrote it. Sorry.
Voila. Okay, good. Well, that's exciting. So we're coming out with a balance.
For 2012.
Yes.
And also for 2013.
Right.
But yes, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Right.
Yeah, well, and to piggyback or to confirm what Andrew says, there is absolutely no reason for KPFA to have any cuts this year or next.
Okay, good. Let me get down to some nitty-gritty line items that I assume others who are not present for this meeting would be asking about.
Do you think maybe would it be easier if I just kind of went through at least each area and then so that way we can...
If the others would.
I don't know.
I can wait.
Would you?
I have one question.
I guess I'm just trying to consolidate the
questions.
I just would ask you that when you're doing that to tell us what's different between the 2013 budget and the 2012 budget. I mean... Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Because you know, we struggled and suffered, and we approved the 2012 budget, and we want to know what's different. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's just back up, and I'll show you that for the 2013 budget, 2013, we had three documents that we handed out. As Barbara said, the one page colorful budget thing
for
fund drives, the budget itself. And then this very large 18-page or whatever it is, it's not really...
You don't have to memorize all this.
It's where you get to look stuff up.
Okay. That's just an explanation of a lot of the large one. That's an explanation of a lot of the expenditures, okay?
Historical record.
Exactly. So, as Barbara said... The first part is revenue. The first part, listener support.
Now she's looking at the budget.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So we're looking at this?
No, this one.
Okay.
We're looking at the five-pager. The five-pager.
Okay. The budget. Let me just give you the other two are supporting documents.
This is the horizontal.
It's five pages.
No,
that's
the horizontal
not the budget.
One.
It says 2013 budget.
It's
ignore
the,
that.
It's, but look, it says.
That's a summary. Sasha, that's a summary.
It's a summary of expenditures.
Budget figures for fiscal year 2013.
Yeah. The legal size five-page document.
Right.
Okay.
With pastel colored columns.
Yes.
Pastel colored columns on the front page.
Right.
All blue. Oh, sorry, all blue.
Yeah, we owe Barbara color cartridge.
The color of money.
Okay. So the first...
Quick question, because I'm not going to understand any of this without the answer to the question. Was the 2013 budget... Was the 2013 budget put together taking in... to account what this fund drive brought in, the 89% fulfillment, what gets sent to Fresno and LA, et cetera, the surplus or not, and what bills that we think might be coming in the next couple of months does it take into account as well?
Okay. To answer your question, I'm sorry, go back to the one-page colorful thing. Okay. No, the one page. Colorful.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to let you guys know, if I were to have printed out the whole budget, every single last page of it, you would end up with about 110 pages.
No, thanks.
So you're getting off lightly here. Okay, lines 20 through 22. I'm sorry, I took yours.
Okay.
Can
I take just a couple minutes here?
Craig is dying to say something.
So for the purposes of the other members on the board who aren't present, what I would like to do is scan these and send them around, right? And they, well, okay. But also, I mean, at some point they'll be able to listen to the audio and you know, follow along silently while we thrash along here publicly. So this is what I would like to do, just for the sake of clarity, okay? And let's, I want everybody to find the first one-page document that has the yellow columns. Okay, get your pens or pencils ready. Okay, this is 8.5 by 11. Right. Label this TR1.
When it was sent by email, it's document number one.
Okay, this is document number one by email, but TR1. And so for the purposes of these discussions, Treasurer Report 1. So for the purposes of these discussions here, when Maria or Barbara or anybody here refers to these documents, you can say TR1, and that will allow people to follow along, right? Okay, so that's TR1. Okay, so find the legal size document with the blue, orange. Okay, this is the five-page budget. Label that TR2. Okay, in the email that's number 3, but today it's going to be TR2. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, for those who are just looking at their email, why don't we call it what they're going to be finding?
Because I don't have that email here, and we're okay.
What does it say on the top?
Document number 2.
It says Pacifica Foundation KPFA Radio budget figures for fiscal year 2013.
All
right.
Yeah.
That's
TR2.
That's TR2. Okay. Let's stick to.
Okay. Okay. Let's make. I'm sorry. Let's make that TR3.
Which one? Okay.
The long one that we just had.
The which one?
Okay.
The one that we did. Just
okay.
Made.
This long one here, the legal size one with the blue, orange, and lavender columns is TR3. Okay. And then this big old eight.
Wait,
sorry.
Because I don't see a TR3 here.
That's it. Right on the table to your left.
It's five pages.
That's it. In your hand. That's it. Okay,
no,
make.
We're
changing that. That's TR3.
It was too simple, and they had to make it more complicated.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. We got a little mixed up, but that long one is TR3. Okay. We're now back on track. Okay, so this 18-pager now is what is this one?
TR2.
Okay, this 18-pager now is TR2.
Okay.
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 So when you're talking about a document, refer to its TR number.
Okay.
Thank you.
And there were two more one-page things here.
One-page.
Okay, so we can set those aside for right now then. Okay, so let me just review so everybody's clear. The yellow columns, that's TR1.
The
18-pager black and white is TR2. And the legal size with the blue and lavender and orange columns, a tasteful color combination, is TR3.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Go, Maria.